かなと。 Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Prince Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gora Bhakta Vrindiki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kunta Radha Kunta Vrindavadana Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Maipurinam Vrindavan Ki Sri Guru Sri Ramachandra Ki Sri Ganga Mai Ki Jai Sri Jaman Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Jusi Devi Maharani Ki Jai Hori Naam Sankitana Ki Jai Nitai Gora Prayvanandi All glories to this All glories to this All glories to this All glories to Sisi Guru and Guru Nanda, all glories to Sri Prabhupada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
The Sides of God. Chapter 1. The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Text number 43. Is that right? 43.
Tamsa bhutatma bhutam.
Tamsa bhutatma bhutam.
Asantam samudashanam.
Asantam samudashanam.
Bhagavat tejasa sprishtam.
Bhagavat tejasa sprishtam.
Nasa. Nasa nam dantum ujjamai.
Nasa nam dantum ujjamai.
Sarvabhutatma bhutam
Sarvabhutatma bhutam
Vasantam samadarshanam
Vasantam samadarshanam
Bhagavat tejasa sprishtam
Bhagavat tejasa sprishtam
Nasapnam dantum bhutyamai
Nasapnam dantum bhutyamai
Tam sarvabhutatma bhutam
Tam sarvabhutatma bhutam
Vasantam samadarshanam
Vasantam samadarshanam
Yajasaspriṣṭam.
Vārvande Yajasaspriṣṭam.
Naśaknottam tu ujjamāya.
Tam sarva bhūtātmā bhūtam.
Tam sarva bhūtātmā bhūtam.
Prasantam samadarshanam.
Prasantam samadarshanam.
Bhagavate jasaspriṣṭam.
Bhagavate jasaspriṣṭam.
Naśaknottam tu ujjamāya.
Naśaknottam tu ujjamāya.
Tam sarva bhūtātmā bhūtam.
Tam sarva bhūtātmā bhūtam.
Is sober, peaceful, and equal to everyone. Since the great devotee Prahlad was protected by the Lord's potency, Hiranyakasipu was unable to kill him, in spite of endeavouring to do so in various ways. Therefore, in this verse, the word sarva-bhūtātma-bhūtam is very significant. Ishvaraha sarva-bhūtānam vidyeshvara-churna-tiṣṭhati. The Lord is equally situated in the core of everyone's heart. Thus, he cannot be envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. For him, everyone is the same. Although he is sometimes seen to punish someone, this is exactly like a father's punishing his child for the child's welfare. The Supreme Lord's punishment is also a manifestation of the Lord's equality. Therefore, the Lord is described as prasantam samadarshanam. Although the Lord has to execute his will properly, he is equipoised in all circumstances. He is equally disposed toward everyone.
Om Agyana Dinigandasya Ginanjana Sadapaya Chakshur Vuditam Jena Chasmave Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadaya Tadatisva Padantikam mukam karoti vacharam gangayate garim yat kripatam aham bande shri guru dinam pandavam shri chaitanya ishvaram Sava Bhutatma Bhutam. Which means the soul in all entities. The life of everyone effectively comes from the Lord. Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam hride sirjuna tishtati. Ishvaraha means the controller. Sarvabhutanam, of everyone, all of the Bhutas, all of the living entities. And that's the Sarva-Bhuta Atma-Bhutam. So he's the life of all, situated within the heart. Hridesha-Juna-Tishtati. And he's the... The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Upadrashta, the overseer, Anumanta, the permitter, overseer and the permitter, Anumanta. And so in that role, he is Prashantam Samadarshanam, peaceful, and he sees everybody equally. So nobody is a friend and nobody is an enemy. There's no favoritism. Right? You get the, we get the, we get what we deserve. Because sometimes we look at our situation and we look at the situation of others and we think, how come this person has more than me, better than me? We don't mind if somebody else has got less than us. That's okay. But if somebody's better than us, we get upset. Why is this? I'm as qualified as that person. Krishna's Sarva-Bhutatma. What is it? Sarva-Bhutatma-Bhutam. Samadarshanam. Why are they more qualified? Or why are they enjoying better facilities than me? I'm just as qualified. Well, the reality is perhaps you're not as, we're not as qualified. Because Krishna is equal to everybody, he's awarding us what we deserve according to our desire and according to our karma, what we deserve. You may desire so much or so many things, but it's like having money in the bank. If you want to buy a house these days, and you don't have the deposit, nor the means by which to pay the loan, what happens? What do you do? You fake it, right? You make up things. But even then, everything will be revealed when you cannot pay for the loan and you lose the house, right?
So regardless of how much we might think that we're qualified or deserving, if we don't have the bank account, if we don't have the bank account of pious credits, even though we may desire something, we may not get it. Because Krishna, as the super soul, being equal to everybody, the overseer and the permitter, situated within everybody's heart, so he knows intimately all of these things. He knows what we desire, but he also knows what we deserve. And so that way he's what the wealth or the facility, the material energy is distributed equally amongst everybody according to those considerations. Right? It's not favoritism, neither is it what would you call it? That's different. What's the opposite of favoritism? Denial. Right? Denial. Which upsets people. Right? This upsets people because they hear Krishna's supposed to be equal to everybody. How come I've got less and he's got more? Right? This is very common. This is a very common concern. You know, on our social media sites, people can write comments, right? Give you feedback. Did you know that? Google My Business, even Facebook. There's an opportunity for people to give you feedback. So have a guess what kind of feedback we get for the temple, even for the restaurants. What kind of feedback do you think we get predominantly? How many stars do you reckon we get? 10. No, they only go up to 5. What do you think? What 5. Do you think? 5. Yeah, predominantly 5. Predominantly 5. Except one thing. What do you think that one thing is? If you think you know what that one thing is, raise your hands. There's a few of you know because I've told you. What do you think it is? People get upset about.
The discipline.
Yeah, it's related to discipline, I suppose. Yeah.
Prasadam.
Very good. Go to the top of the class. Prasadam. Yes, prasadam. Why? Two things. When we have a festival, people see that the cooks are stashing things for themselves. Have you noticed it? It's hidden in plain sight. And people see it. There's a sense of entitlement. Right? I'm the cook, therefore I can take the prasad before everybody else. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Everything.
Yeah, because... Anyway, I'll explain it. But anyway, isn't it interesting? You see? Favoritism. But people don't like favoritism. When they see somebody's benefited under the direction of Krishna, they get upset. Oh, favoritism. Right? Whether it's justified or not. What's the other thing? Cooks helping themselves. What's the other thing? There was a fight the other day. Because of very... very polarizing. What
greed.
Is it?
Greed.
Eh?
Greed.
No, not greed. No. It's again favoritism. When the devotees are serving out, they give their friends whatever they want. But if somebody they don't like
turns up, oh, he's a low class. You know, we're high class and he's low class. Oh, just give him a little bit. Huh? So what's that called? Favoritism. It's favoritism. You're supposed to be a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should be equal to everybody. Why do you give your friends the choice pieces of Mahaprasadam and only how to get the rice and the dal? Or if I want more rice, you won't give it to me. Huh? What does that mean? It's funny, but it's not funny, actually. It's tragic. We want to make sure, and Prabhupada was very, very clear on this point. It's the culture of a Vaishnava to give. Right? This is why the cooks taking the Mahaprasad for themselves is actually against our culture. We are not consumers, we are distributors. Distributors of the mercy. We give it away. None of us are going to die of it. Anybody around here dying of starvation? Nobody. Huh? Plenty of prasadam. So why not distribute it. You get far more mercy distributing than you do if you take it for yourself. Very interesting. We are not a consumer society in one sense. Our society is meant, you know, Namo Mahava Danyaya. Lord Chaitanya is praised as the most munificent. Krishna Prema Pradayate, giving the mercy. Specifically the holy name. But also the prasadam. It's an extension of deity worship. We're here to serve the deities. And what do the deities want to do? They want to distribute their mercy to everybody. Krishna's equal to everyone and everybody. Like who's, what, did you mention it the other day, Gopa? Or was it Arjun? The rain falls equally on everyone. You did. Yeah, nice example. The rain falls equally on everybody, but do we get the same crop coming out of every piece of soil? No. Right? The rain falls equally on everyone. So, you know, this notion of favoritism upsets people, but the rain falls equally on everybody, but not everybody. Not each piece of soil is the same, and so it doesn't all produce luxuriant growth, right? Very interesting. In the middle of Australia, in the desert, have a guess what colour it is at the moment. What colour is it usually? Red. What colour is it now?
Brown.
What?
Green.
Why? Because it rained. It's got rain. But generally speaking, you know, where the rain falls, it falls on everything equally. But in some places, because it's more fertile, it grows. Right? So similarly also, Krishna gives his mercy equally to everybody, but not everybody is qualified to receive it. So therefore, one gets more, another gets less, apparently. And so it appears to be favoritism, but it's not actually. And Prabhupada makes a point here. Just as the father sometimes chastises a child. Hands up, who's parents here? Who amongst us are parents? Martin, I'll put your hand up. Huh? You're a parent, aren't you? Well, you stopped being a parent. You're a grandpa now. Yeah. Do you discipline your children?
Absolutely.
Yes. Why?
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
not politically correct, but yes. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
The rod can be your mouth.
Your what?
The
rod is the sparingly used, if at all. But of course, discipline can come in many ways. Questions afterwards.
Prabhupada has came to me quite a few times.
Sorry?
Prabhupada has came to me a few times. Prabhupada has came to me a few times.
Good.
So he doesn't.
And all of us. Yeah. If we're following Srila Prabhupada, then we're being disciplined. That's the disciple means one who's disciplined. Huh? So yeah, but we discipline our children out of love and affection. Huh? We don't want to spoil them. You know, we oversee what our children are doing. Of course, the hard part is when they grow up. Anybody notice? When they grow up, and then we have to make them our friends. Right? But at what point do we discipline, and at what point do we make friends? That's the tricky bit of parenting. Right? You can't treat a 20-year-old like you do a 2-year-old. Right? So, and as Prabhupada puts it here, even though it appears to be favoritism or denial, actually it's not. Krishna is equal to everybody and rewards them according, as you mentioned, according to their surrender. So there's a bit of a contrast here. There's the punishment of some and the favoritism of others, and in particular, as is pointed out here, the relationship between Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadev. Right? Because even though Prahlad was just a little boy, his father could not do anything to him, couldn't kill him, despite the fact that he tried. Right? And ordinarily, you know, in the grand scheme of things, a big powerful demon like Hiranyakashipu, who was able to destroy and conquer the whole universe, practically speaking, right? He couldn't do anything to his little son. What's going on here? Again, it appears to be favoritism, right? And it is, actually. Even though Krishna is equal to everybody at the same time, and a very interesting illustration of this story, one of them is, that he's very inclined to his devotees. And he protects his devotees. Although sometimes he also punishes his devotees as well, apparently. Just like with the ordinary populace, there's apparent favoritism and apparent denial, you know, chastisement. Similarly, also with the devotees, there's protection and also sometimes apparent harshness. Huh? Testing. Look at the lives of the great devotees. How many of them have not been tested? Just at a magic carpet ride. I'm assuming that you're all devotees. Is that right?
Try to be.
You're all devotees, aren't you? If you're not a devotee, what are you here? What are you here for? Hands up, those who think they're devotees, raise your hands. Yeah.
humble, very humble, humble devotees. Okay, we'll assume that you're all devotees. Hands up, all of you whose life is just a magic carpet ride and nothing goes wrong. Please raise your hands. Okay. One exception to prove the rule. Yeah. Tough life. Life is tough. But also as a devotee, there are times when one experiences great exhilaration. Right? Great exhilaration and happiness. Something you can't get from material pursuits. There can be experience in the pursuit of bhakti and service to the spiritual master and service to Krishna that makes us, you know, what is Prabhupada says, jubilant. Mm-hmm. Jubilant is an interesting word. Jubilant. Look up the meaning of jubilation. Huh? There's a description of, I can't remember who it's a description of. A description of a devotee. Sometimes he laughs. Sometimes he cries. Sometimes he's dancing. Crying or laughing, he's dancing. And oblivious to public opinion. This is the Sankirtan movement. Oblivious to what people will think about them. But very happy. Although sometimes crying, you know, because we're stuck in the material world. We think we're going to make everything perfect and we're going to be happy. And we're not. Right? And then we cry. But then we realize it's all futile anyway. Right? It's a waste of time trying to pursue material happiness. Because what happens? If you're pursuing material happiness, what happens usually?
Temporary.
It's temporary. You may even get it. Okay, are you lucky if you get it? And then when you do get it, poof, it's gone. Right? This is why everybody's laughing at a wedding. Right? The couple are looking very serious. Everybody else is laughing. But a devotee, when a devotee comes to their senses and realizes that the real pursuit of perfection is in the performance of devotional service. And, you know, that's free. It has to be pure. Devotional service has to be done purely in order for it to be fully satisfying. That's why, you know, it's recommended, don't stash the Mahaprasad. Give it away. Mm-hmm. Give it away. And then take the remnants. And you'll be happy. You'll be happier than if you hoard it and keep it for yourself. To be honest, you may be happy, oh, I got the Rasagula. I remember when I was a very young devotee, biggest test. I was in the pot shed, and my first responsible service, I guess, oh, they're all responsible, but I had to do the kitchen divide, the breakfast divide. Right? So that means prasadam for the men and prasadam for the women. That's what the breakfast divide was in those days. In fact, we used to take prasadam in what we call the theatre. But it used to be called Parampara Hall.
That was the theatre was Parampara Hall. And what's the that room where we've got all the crossways junk, which we should toss out, I think. That used to be, so the men used to take prasadam in the Parampara Hall, and the ladies, but then the ladies with children had to go into the other room. So I had to do the divide. And then on one occasion we had the men and the women all together, but we had a partition, we put up a partition between the men and the women taking prasadam. What kind of a message does that send to the women? Do you think? Interesting. Some interesting ISKCON artifacts. History. Because nowadays we're more of a family community. So if anybody complains about children making noise, it's a bit unfair because, you know, there's a lot of... What's the percentage of children in our community, you reckon? What do you think? What's the percentage of kids in our community as opposed to the whole, or in reference to the whole community? What's the percentage?
40%.
What do you think? 40 is a lot. Yeah. So we can't put up, if you start putting barriers up between you and the children, what does that tell you? What does that tell the kids? Do you think?
Separation is immunity.
Yeah. You're inferior, I'm superior. Food for thought. I mean, we don't do it now. Fortunately. But back to the story. Not only did I divide the prasadam, but I used to serve it out as well. And, you know, one of my desires as a young devotee in ISKCON was I want to be the first person that gets served out. Like the temple president. I want to be the temple president because the temple president gets to pick all the best mahaprasadam. But in those days, I was just a servant. And I don't know about you, but I like Burfi. You know the Burfi? Anybody not familiar with the brown Burfi? Hands up if you like the brown Burfi. If you don't know what it is, then you should find out. And if you don't like it, that means you like the Sundesh. But that's okay, I don't mind if you like the Sundesh. Just leave some Burfi for me. I'll be serving out. And there'd be two or three people left and only one Burfi. And I try to restrain myself. Sama darshanaha, right? Yeah. What is it? I tried to be, what is it? Sava bhuta mabhuta. But I couldn't help but pray to Radha but please. Don't let any one of these people choose the Burfi. Right? And sometimes, have a guess what? They take the Burfi. Oh no, Krishna, not fair. But I still felt happy. And you know, I was doing a divide. I could have easily put it aside for myself. I could have. You know, one time,
we used to cook the Sunday feast with korma, and there'd be 8 or 10 brahmacharis in the kitchen with korma. And you know, korma used to do what he still does, and Joe Sachi reminisces about. He would cut up the auspicious piece of potato. This is the size that it had to be, right? And you stick it on the ledge. And when you were cutting up, you had to cut it to the right size. And if you didn't, he'd bring the potato and say, this is the size. Because, you know, when you're cutting up potatoes, it goes quicker if you cut them up bigger, right? It's faster. The common like to have everything, you know, done nicely. Nice offering to Krishna, then nice offering to the guests. This is what Prabhupada wanted, distribution of prasad. Done with the proper mood and the proper mentality. Equanimity, but of course favouring others. So we used to fast before serving the Sunday feast. But then the senior devotees discovered that the brahmacharis were so grumpy. Been in the kitchen all morning, you know, had breakfast, been in the kitchen working hard all day, had a snooze, then got up to serve the Sunday feast, but then they were so rude and nasty to the guests. So they said, okay, all right. The rule is now the brahmacharis have to eat before they serve. So that way then, when they serve people, at least they get a smile on their face, right? And they were not like me thinking, oh no, they've eaten the last week, they've doubled. So brahmacharis were allowed to eat first. And everybody was served nicely, everybody was happy. Right? So sometimes we have to adjust. But sometimes I'd get to the end and nobody had taken the burfi. That was the sweetest burfi. So, I mean, not that I'm a good example, but I got a lot of satisfaction out of serving. That's what I learned. If you serve and leave the result up to Krishna, when you do get the burfi, it's the most satisfying burfi. But if you're stashing it for yourself, I didn't feel it's not the same. Huh? It's not the same. Okay, you got the burfi, but you lost the mood that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have. Right? It's equal to everybody, and regardless of who comes, we give them prasadam. Now, one of the reasons why the devotees favour others or kind of skip a little bit is because we're not cooking enough sometimes. And so they think, oh, we'll cut it, oh, we'll tear up all the chapatis into pieces. Well, that's just horrible. We should distribute it until it runs out, give everybody everything that they want. And if it's run out, hey, that's Krishna's mercy. That's what happens, you know. We don't have, what's that pot that Draupadi had? Didn't Draupadi have a pot that
Akshaya Patra,
they're very famous, right? Akshaya Patra, the unlimited plate of prasadam. Well, that's what we mean. But actually we are. This is Akshaya Patra, really, when you think about it. Isn't it? So equal to everybody, distribute the prasadam equally. When it runs out, we say to people, sorry Prabhu, come back in about 2 hours' time and there'll be more. Huh? And maybe you might have to wait 3 hours. Maybe even 4. But you'll be fed, don't worry. So you know, why did Nrisimhadeva, Lord Nrisimhadeva, and the Lord in the form of the Paramatma protect Prahlad Maharaj? Why? Because
Prahlad Maharaj was that magnanimous soul, that munificent soul, who was really concerned about the benefit of everybody. You see that? Even he was concerned about the welfare of his father. Right? After Lord Nrisingadeva had killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj was still concerned about the welfare and the well-being of his father, despite his father was a person who was trying to kill him. Right? And Prabhupada mentions, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, how he, on the cross, he was being crucified, yet he said, "Forgive them, my Father, for they know not what they do." Right? So this is a mood of a devotee. The devotee is not concerned about himself or herself, an advanced devotee, but they're more concerned about the welfare and the well-being of others. This is really the reason why Lord Chaitanya appeared, was for the benefit of others. This is why people get upset when they see the devotees playing favourites and discriminating against others, because they know that's not the proper mood of the super soul, it's not the proper mood of a devotee. Although in some circumstances that may be okay, of course. You know, if somebody comes along and threatens to, you know, attacks the devotees, then the devotee will be like fire and will protect the devotees, right? Just like Krishna. Even the Lord himself, as the Lord was protecting Prahlad Maharaj as a young boy by thwarting all of the attempts of Hiranyakashipu to kill his son. And then finally, when it was, you know, overwhelmingly obvious that Prahlad was being persecuted by his father, then the Lord appeared as Lord Nrisingadeva and, you know, destroyed Hiranyakashipu. But why was what were the unique redeeming qualities and characteristics that made Prahlad be
favored?
It was favored. It appeared as if the Lord was partial. He is partial to the devotees, but especially the quality is not just because he is a devotee and says, you know, jai Jagadish Hari, but rather because he had that pure heartedness, that pure consciousness of wanting to serve others, and basically not, what is it? Idam Krishna, idam namama. This is for Krishna, it's not for me. This is where we, you know, we should be striving to be as devotees. So that, you know, we get 5 stars every time we get feedback on my business, on Google My Business. 5 stars every time. What do you think? That's going to be impossible. But most of the time, because, you know, you just get envious people who will just give you 1 star just because they don't like you, occasionally. Right? Have you seen that? Well, I have.
Some people just ask you.
I don't know whether I should say this. It's stereotyping. Oh, right. Leave you to wonder. Some people will just give you 1 star because they just don't like you. And what do people say? I love the atmosphere. This is the most fantastic place. This is a transcendental place. I'll tell you another story. Achintya Rupa and I were flying from Pune to Delhi,
right? And the stewardess came up to us and said, "Who are you?" And we said, "We're ISKCON devotees. We're the Hare Krishnas." And she said, "I know that." Everybody in Air India knows the devotees pretty much, at least that's my experience. Even other airlines, but certainly Air India especially. They're always very, I guess they do that to everybody, but namaskar, right? But they definitely like the ISKCON devotees. And she said, "Where are you from?" And we said, "From Australia." And she said, "Oh, that's really nice." We said, "We're from Melbourne." And she said, "Oh, I'm so happy to meet you." And I said, "You know, I'm the president of the temple. And this is my life." And she said, "Oh, I'm so honored." I think, what? I'm just a shnepo. A shnepo from South Australia. When we're in India, we get treated like kings sometimes. Kings and queens. But you know what she told me? She said, "I'm so honored. One time I was doing international travel and I ended up in Melbourne. And I was so depressed. I was so unhappy. And I went to the temple." Right? I went to the temple. And I spent a couple of hours in the temple. And then after that couple of hours, all of my anxiety was gone. So what she did was she gave us a couple of free bottles of water. But anyway, you know, we know when people come to the temple and they experience the atmosphere. And what goes on here? It's service to Krishna. It's service to Radha Balabha. And it's service without material consideration, right? Mostly. When you come to the temple, what are you thinking? What's the most you're expecting when you come to the temple? Siddha, what are you expecting when you come to the temple? What do you like, Chandesh or Burfi? Burfi. Oh, now we know where the Burfi goes. Right, the most we probably think of is, can I get a Burfi? Right? But most often we come just to do service. Why do we come to the temple? We come to do service. You know, I read something very interesting the other day. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it mentions how there are three types of devotees. Right? What are the three types of devotees? Who knows what the three types of devotees are?
Kanishtha, Madhyam.
Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam. Yes. Right? So the Uttam is the best, the Madhyam is the halfway the best, and the Kanishtha is not so good. Yeah? Yeah? But what does the Bhagavad Gita say? Even the third class devotee is liberated. Imperceptibly liberated. Very interesting statement. Because what is the third class devotee? What are they understood to be most engaged in? What do they do? What's their service? Third class devotee.
Deity worship.
Yes, they worship the deity. But they follow the regulating principles. They follow the discipline of the guru. Right? And so even a third class devotee is considered liberated. If you're following, if you're rendering service, it's free from motivation, then even though we may not be, you know, up there with the Paramahamsas, we're still way, 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 way ahead of anybody else. A third class devotee, right? It's just like, you know, when you are in an aeroplane and you're flying to India, you know, and you get around about Bali, experiences, and you think, God, what's going on here? We don't even see we're going anywhere. Huh? You look out the window, it's just blue from here to there, and you think, oh, another few hours, how long to go? Right, so it doesn't look like you're making any progress. And so the devotees sometimes feel like that. We're chanting Hare Krishna, we're rendering service, and we're struggling with our attachments, trying to chant with attention. And so we feel like, oh, I'm not making any advancement. Anybody feel like that? You must all be on the paramount. So people notice that, you know, a community of devotees that gives, is favoured by Krishna. Effectively, by Balaram Maharaj, he was favoured by the Lord, so much so that the Lord appeared as Nisringadev to smash Hiranyakashipu after he touched so much of his nonsense. And Prahlad Maharaj never ever lost faith and never ever ceased to be a giver. In one sense, Prahlad Maharaj is the emblem of Krishna consciousness. Extraordinary, exceedingly tolerant, and always concerned about the welfare of others, and didn't worry about himself because he knew that he would be protected. Even if he didn't get the birthie, get the birthie tomorrow. You know, and if life is really tough, just go and steal the birthie. But I'll tell you, the birthie that's stolen is not as sweet as the birthie that's been distributed. You know that? Even if you didn't get to taste it, it's sweeter to give it away than it is to fill your own belly. That's really the culture. That's our Vaishnava culture. You know, when you go to Radha Govinda in Jaipur, the devotees there purchase the prasadam, right? And then what do they do with it? What do they do with it? They go to the corner? No! They go and just give it liberally to everybody. And then they're in ecstasy. They're happy. And that's a real, you know, if we want to taste the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, really, then we should give it away. Just give it to others, because it'll come back. Now, Prabhupada gives the example, you know, Lord Vishnu has 10 hands. So what can you hold on to with your two? But then when he gives with his 10 hands, what can you receive? He'll give more than we can imagine. As devotees, we get more than we could ever imagine we would have received. So anyway, now, sometimes, in the purport mentioned here, sometimes it appears that the Lord is punishing. And that's very hard to understand. Just like we have a very tragic situation at the moment. Our friend and devotee, Neve, is practically leaving his body. If he survives, it'll be a miracle. And the indications are that he will likely leave his body. So he's only 15, bright, enthusiastic young man with the whole world at his fingertips. But then within a few minutes, poof, gone. So how do we deal with that? That is so tragic. And we know, Dehinosmin Yatajehe Govaram, Dovaram, you know, we know all the philosophy. You're not the body, Prabhu. We know all of that. But what happens when we already experienced this a few months ago with Chashman's boy, also, eight years old, left his body in tragic circumstances. So sometimes that's challenging for the devotees because we're thinking Krishna's our protector, but why is he putting this devotee through this test or through this punishment? It almost looks like punishment, right? But from an external point of view, we don't know what's going on the internal, what's happening. It's very, 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 very tragic. But when you think about it, what's going to happen? He may survive. But in one sense, you know, survival after severe poisoning, effectively poisoning, right? What's your quality of life going to be? Maybe full recovery. That would be a miracle. And again, but it's possible. We shouldn't underestimate the power of the Lord's potency. But at the same time, we also have to be realistic. But then, you know, for a young devotee, pretty much lived a very sinless life. Really, when you think about it, at such a young age, chanting Hare Krishna, dedicated to parents who were devotees, calling out for Prabhupada, calling out for the spiritual master, calling out for Krishna. What's the destination of such a devotee, do you think? What do you think? Gopa? What do you think? The worst he would get is to take birth in a family of devotees. Have to be. Huh? The worst. And possibly, at the best, even be elevated to Vaikuntha or even Goloka with a pure heart as a young devotee. So, at least philosophically, we know that for such a devotee, there's only really positive to look forward to. Tragic, yes. And we all feel hurt and upset. Natural. It's natural to feel like that. You know, I was reading one of Sachinandan Swami's newsletter, and it was about community development. And he was saying, people don't care how much you know, but people care about how much you care. Right? And you know, we can be full of philosophy, but people are suffering in this world and they don't want to hear philosophy sometimes. They just want somebody to say, it's okay, you'll get through it. It's not permanent. And the material world is never permanent. I was talking to my neighbour yesterday, and she was saying, oh, I'm sick of all this change. If only things could just be the same, just for a moment. And I said, well, you can live in hope, but it ain't going to happen. So, it's natural that we'll care. It's a source of great grief, actually, and you know, the tragic circumstances, but at the same time, like the Lord Maharaj, we have to be fixed in our understanding of the fact that the material world is always a place of coming and going. And it's why we've had the good fortune of with Neve's tragic situation, we've all come together and chant Hare Krishna a lot more than we usually do, so there's certainly many benefits from that. And of course, that's where we get all of our solace. Our solace comes from chanting Hare Krishna.
our advancement in spiritual life comes from chanting. Right? It doesn't come from how many burpees you got, or whether you've got the major portion of the mana. In fact, you'll get more benefit from chanting Hare Krishna if you just give it away, because that's really what it's for. So, today we've got an opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, and I guess, you know, for our purification, for the protection of Neve, you know, we pray the Lord Nisringadev for his protection. But that doesn't mean he's going to protect our material body. That's not what we pray for. We pray to Lord Nisringadev to remove the obstacles in the path of our making advancement in Krishna consciousness. That's what we're asking for. Protection of our spiritual life, not protection of the material body. Right? You know, sometimes we go on a journey, we get in the car, we start singing, as if he's going to, you know, stop the tragedies from happening when you're travelling. Oh, that'll happen. Life will happen. But what we really want to do to take advantage of this life is to make sure that our spiritual advancement is progressive, that we're making positive steps forward in our spiritual life. Isn't it? Material life, you get a good job, you lose a good job, you get a good boss, you get a bad boss. Have you noticed? Things go well one day, the next day there's a tragedy. Bring up, it's what is it? Adyanta Panta Kuttayana Te Shurana Te Kutha. And sometimes, you know, the realization of our philosophy really does come through chanting Hare Krishna. And we get to sit, somehow Krishna helps us put everything in perspective when we've purified the heart and cleansed it. So, yes, it's a. You're all welcome to come for our kirtan, encouraged to come. Take prasadam, distribute prasadam. Or distribute prasadam, then take prasadam. But that's our culture. And that will make a very, we'll get consistent 5-star feedback. And maybe, you know, the odd one, just because somebody doesn't like us anyway. Any comments, questions, thoughts? Sidhya, the most reliable.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the nice class. You were talking about how Prahlad Maharaj, he was one of the favorite devotees of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But he also gave a lecture, a moment of association with the devotees can elevate you.
Mm-hmm.
But we see Prahlad Maharaj is always praising his father, Hiranyakashipu, day and night. So how come he became such a great devotee of the Lord?
How can we get the association of a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj?
No, so like, he was associated with the demonic cross
that Hiranyakashipu,
so day and night,
because
he was his father.
Yeah.
So how come he was associated
in
a bad association?
How come he was such a good devotee in bad association? Well, that's a long story, that one. Yeah. Yeah, Krishna's arrangement, really. And not to be imitated, actually. Most of us couldn't live in the constant association of non-devotees and survive. Right? It's very difficult. But the exalted nature and character of somebody like Prahlad Maharaj is a beacon or the epitome of bhakti and a sign of you know, devotional service performed in a previous life, right? To be so fixed up despite the bad association that he had, right? So, you know, even when he went to school, he was preaching, right? His father would get so infuriated because of his devotional character and qualities. Yet, it didn't faze Prahlad Maharaj. And that's why we worship. Yeah, that's why Prahlad Maharaj appears in the pages of the Bhagavatam, and we probably don't. Right? So, one of the takeaways is that in general we should avoid bad association as much as possible and stay in the association of the devotees to develop and build that kind of a character that Prahlad Maharaj is the example, the exemplar, you know, he's the topmost example of a pure devotee who's concerned about the welfare of others. So that's the kind of devotee that we should associate with. That's the kind of devotee that we're creating within ISKCON. Selfless servants of Lord Prabhupada, of Lord Chaitanya, and ultimately of Krishna. Devoted. But because we're not at that liberated state, we should fastidiously avoid the association of materialistic people. Because it will affect us. That's why Prabhupada created ISKCON, was so that we would have the association of devotees. Even the third class devotees, and even if we're third class devotees, we'll still be liberated, according to the Bhagavatam. Right? And that's, you know, it means worshipping the deity, it means chanting Hare Krishna, it means hearing regularly. When you worship the deities, then Prabhupada makes the point that in any temple where there's deity worship, then there will be some pravachan, right? Some teachings. And especially for the Vaishnavas, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And why the Srimad Bhagavatam? You know, the Srimad Bhagavatam is not always about devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is really unique. There are quite a few other devotees in the Bhagavatam who didn't start off at the same level as Prahlad Maharaj. In fact, they were slightly materialistic, but they perfected their lives, right? So you could say third class devotees. But even the third class devotees is very elevated, right? So by ourselves, we're like a little stick, easily snapped, right? But in a bunch, you can't break it. Right? Can't break it. So, Prahlad Maharaj teaches us the unique position of those Nitya Siddha Bhakta, always liberated personality, right? Who's always in association with Nisringadeva. Right? He appears before Nisringadeva to perform his pastimes. So, a devotee that can't be imitated, we can follow but not imitate, and we can't take Prahlad Maharaj's position because he's a Nitya Siddha. And in our practice of bhakti, we follow in the footsteps of such devotees. Right? So we aspire to be like Prahlad Maharaj by associating with other devotees and avoiding the materialistic people. Is that all right? Anybody else?
The exactly same question that Sylvia asked. The devotee schoolmates of Prahlada asked the same question at the very end of 6th chapter of 7th canto. And the 7th chapter, the answer to that question, Prahlada tells the whole story of how...
Yes, that's what she said, it's a long story.
...the mountain and Hayadu was arrested by his demigods. And then that time, Narguni comes and tells, you cannot arrest this Hayadu, she is a great... Then they say that, no, till her husband returns, like till the seed of this big demon in the womb of this lady, so she will be under our custody till the child is born.
Yes.
Then afterwards, then they say that till he is born. Then actually Narguni says, you are completely mistaken. Don't think that there is a pure devotee in the womb of this lady.
And
after hearing that, the demigod is circumambulate actually Kayadu, because understanding that there is a pure devotee. And then they release, and then of course Narguni brings this Kayadu, and she will be under this protection and all from all directions. And he will start to speak Bhagavatam, and Prahlada is hearing in the womb of the mother. And then he is responding to Narguni, although Kayadu was dozing off. And being women and less intelligent, she forgot all those instructions. But whereas me, I heard with rapt attention in the womb of my mother, I remember everything. So, and also
I told you it was a long story. And that's why I didn't tell it. So here's my suggestion. Please come to the Srimad Bhagavatam class for the next few months,
yes,
and you'll find out all of the details and more.
I just tell to send Stop Prabhu, and he says that I have
you can stop now, I'm being polite. Please. Anybody else got a question? I deliberately didn't tell the story because it's so convoluted and I don't know all of the details. Somebody else? Any other comments or questions? Yes, Guru.
So when Christ was on the cross, you mentioned that he said, do not judge the people who condemn me because they know not what they do.
Yes, that's the general story.
I'm just wondering how you interpret his other words, Ali Ali Labat Lama Sabahani, which is God, God, why hast thou forsaken him?
Oh, yes. And isn't it interesting, because of the conflict, he's a devotee, right? And feeling the pain of the punishment, he's going to die. And unjustly tortured by his persecutors, right? So just imagine the turmoil that he was going through. On the one hand, he understood this is my karma, right? Must have been. But then we see the internal challenge where he was saying, why haven't you protected me? Right? Must have been. Because these are the utterings that have been recorded. And faithful to the situation, right? Jesus of Nazareth was abandoned by his people, effectively, but also persecuted by the Romans. You need to know, and you may know all of that. But that was his, you see the turmoil in the heart of the devotee. On the one hand, he's feeling compassion for others, and this is his greatness, but also internally, he's struggling with the circumstances of his trial, right? Trial. Compare him with Haridas Thakur, who was beaten in how many marketplaces? 16? 26? 24. 24 marketplaces. And, you know, when his persecutors said to him, you know, we're gonna suffer if we can't kill this fellow. And then Haridas Thakur then understanding the plight of his attackers, he then went unconscious. You know, he thought, oh, I don't want these fellows to suffer because they can't, you know, complete their mission. I'll help them complete their mission. And so what happened? They thought he was dead, which is what they wanted, right? And so they threw his body into the Ganga. But there's that argument. Will we bury him, or should we throw him in the Ganga? And they said, oh, we can't bury him, that's too honourable. Right? We'll just do what the Hindus do, throw him in the Ganga. Right? So Haridas Thakur was thrown in the Ganga, but then floated downstream. And Lord Chaitanya then took him out of the Ganga, isn't it? That's the story. And embraced him, and then all of the wounds that were inflicted on Haridas Thakur were transferred to the body of Lord Chaitanya. Isn't that the story? Yeah, that's the story. So just, we can see the really elevated character of Christ, of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We can see his elevated character and why he was worshipped, why he's worshipped even to this day, because of his compassion, right? Compassion. But we also see in the characters of Haridas Thakur, in the character of a personality like Prahlad Maharaj, you know, a much more fixed up personality. It wasn't that. Prahlad Maharaj wasn't thinking, oh, why is my dad harassing me? Like, you know, most kids would be thinking, I used to think, why is my dad harassing me all the time? But Prahlad Maharaj just tolerated it. You don't hear any record of Prahlad Maharaj lamenting about the mistreatment that he got from his dad. Huh? Do we read about that? It's not there. Character's very exalted. Haridas Thakur, very exalted. Haridas Thakur was tempted by Maya personified in the form of a most beautiful woman. And he was a young man in his prime. Oh, can you imagine? Ooh. And yet he just passed the test. So there you go. I think we should finish. Who's feeling hungry? I'm sorry, they ate all of the show. Okay, Madhurashima Bhagavatam Gita, Sri Prabhupada Gita, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gita. And we should all offer some prayers for at this critical time. Thank you.